website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Jacksonville at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on the broadcast each day. Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast designed around you, our listener. We set the stage, we ask the questions, we join in the dialogue and discussion, and invite you to do so. That telephone number, lest I forget it, many times I do, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. After a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion, and let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible. It's the truth book. We'll be talking about today, church deconstruction. Let me repeat that. Church deconstruction. It's tearing down the church, the real church, the body of Christ. Some call it Christless Christianity. Some call it the emergent church. Others refer to it as progressive Christianity, all three meaning the same. And we're seeing that dominate society today. And we're seeing the real church, the body of Christ, the places, the facilities, the ministries that are proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ are reducing, and the showmanship entertainment in the progressive Christianity seems to be looming. Jesus talked about that through the Apostle Paul, the Galatian church. Galatians 1:6, the scripture says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, a different gospel. It is simply talking about the Greek word there is eteros, means a different kind, a different gospel. The Apostle Paul challenging the church at Galatia with a different gospel so soon after they had said yes to Jesus Christ, supposedly saved. We'll be talking about that today. What are some of the illustrations of the progressive church? As Michael Horton called it in his book, Christless Christianity. In Christless Christianity, let me just read you a little blurb of what Michael Horton says in relationship to it. Horton argues that while we haven't yet arrived at a totally Christless Christianity, we're well on the way. Though we invoke the name of Christ, too often Christ and Christ-centered gospel are pushed aside. The result is a message and faith that are, in Horton's word, trivial, sentimental, affirming, and irrelevant. This is an alternative gospel. It is a message of moralism, personal comfort, self-help, self-improvement, and individualistic religion. It trivializes God, making him mean to our selfish needs, making him a means to our selfish ends. Horton successfully diagnoses the problem and points to the solution, and that solution is we must return to the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the blurb in the book Christless Christianity, published a number of years ago, but becoming more and more relevant as the days go by. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that today. Perhaps you're in a church like that. I'd like to hear from you. Perhaps you've visited churches like that. Would love to hear from you. Perhaps you have questions you'd like to ask in relationship to my stand and position on that subject today. Let me remind you that immediately after the monologue today, you can start dialing in 904-831-0917. And let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, it's based on the authority of the Scripture. The truth book, Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32 says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Scripture makes a declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." But ladies and gentlemen, even as we talk on a theological, biblical, doctrinal subject today that I believe is relevant, more so than perhaps any other subject we could discuss, it is more relevant than any other truth. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, truth is rejected. Multitudes today that fall into the category of the emergent church, progressive Christianity, Christless Christianity, will argue and debate that they're preaching and teaching the truth of the gospel. We're going to dig into that and look at whether or not that's so or not. George Orwell, it was the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." We see that taking place today on every hand. In fact, with the younger Americans, that is the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of them say that each person determines their own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's bad enough falling into the secular society and in society in general, but when you see that being the mindset within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very ominous, very dangerous, and destructive. We need to recognize that. This is the reason I go back to the quote from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And may I challenge you to do that even today. Stand on the truth. You won't make friends and influence people on a wide scale, but God will be honored in it. Standing for the truth means you take a stand based on the central biblicist worldview. What does the Word of God say? As we have a central biblicist worldview, we look at what is taking place in the world, around the globe, and we analyze it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I challenge us each and every day to do that very thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and the Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday so that all the staff of Tools for Time can worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, you're invited to drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com, ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious, grave subject: church deconstruction. What's tearing down the church today? What is the problem today? I'm going to read to you just a few introductory words from my lecture that I do on a 16-week basis, the full semester, called the Emergent Church. The Emergent Church is another name for the Christless Church, as Michael Horton called it, or the Progressive Christianity, as it is better become known today. In this lecture, I say this: Bible-believing churches and Christians are being confronted with ideas, terms, theological doctrines, and experiences that are completely redefining the biblical meaning of Christianity in the world today. The Bible, the Word of God, is being assaulted as never before. Satan is on the move. Biblical truths are being replaced with a different Jesus, a non-reality of hell, and a diluted eschatological view. The Bible has no literal meanings according to the progressive Christianity today. It's to be accepted just simply as mystical with no absolutes. Sin and salvation are ideas of the past with no relevance in society and the church today. It is today's Christless Christianity, progressive Christianity, that's deconstructing the body of Christ, the church today, as we've known it for centuries. The wave of Christian experience, I state this, ladies and gentlemen, is like a tsunami. It's approaching, and it has the potential of destroying the very foundations of biblical Christianity. There's no denomination that's immune from it. The emergent church, progressive Christianity, is rapidly gaining momentum, gathering its faith, thousands of weak, ignorant, immature, infant Christians, as well as non-believers, homosexuals that are intrigued with the music and the modern feel-good of a lounge or a theater. The predominantly young participants in this movement would rather have presentations based on personal experience rather than biblical absolutes and biblical exposition. The progressive Christianity today rejects any absolutes. They say the present church, that is the biblical church, has not made worship relevant to the modern worshipers. The progressive Christian church today seeks and encourages community social action, global justice, sacrificial involvement in an effort to know by experience what God's word says rather than knowing Jesus Christ personally. And the progressive Christianity today, ladies and gentlemen, leaders accuse conservatives and fundamental churches and their leaders as reactionaries and extremists. This movement says there's no single source of truth beyond the individual. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the originators, founders, if you will, of the movement back in, I believe it's about 2005, 2006, a man by the name of John Franke said this: the Church of Jesus Christ is not the goal of the gospel today, just the instrument of the extension of God's mission for his followers today. Conservative Christians, I state this: we must speak the truth in love, but we must combat this evil, wicked, Antichrist movement and reject it both privately and publicly. We must not bow. We must not bend, ladies and gentlemen, to the current movement just to appease the crowds and enlarge the membership looking for numbers, nickels, and noses in the local New Testament church, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of my elongated introduction to a semester of teaching on the progressive church, the emergent church, or as I stated earlier and will state several times during this broadcast today, as Michael Horton in his massive book on the subject calls it, Christless Christianity, subtitled The Alternative Gospel of the American Churches Today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please. Kenneth, are you present?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead with the question.
Okay. I mean, you have said everything I wanted to say. And I don't know if the bishop is on with you today or whatever, but I'm going to tell you, you are so right. And our governor, the young little black girl, I think she was, the what? the attorney general or something?
Yeah, the state's attorneys in the state of Florida that was just removed by Governor DeSantis.
Right. I'm going to tell you, if the black people do not wake up, we are going to be messed up.
Brother, I say the black people, the brown people, the white people all need to wake up, smell the coffee, and understand where we are. It's not just the clinching in the political realm. It's not just the clinching in the realm of morals and ethics. It's a declension in spirituality, an absolute deconstruction of the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. What's amazing to me, Kenneth, and I see it week after week every day in ministry, is those that claim to be saved, those that say that they love the Lord Jesus, but they're looking for the entertainment perspective of what they call worship. They're looking for the crowds. If the crowd is there, if the numbers are there, if the voice articulates a positive attitude and positive thinking like Joel Osteen and others, then that's where the crowd thinks the action ought to be. The mindset is, if it's a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, if it's a church where expository preaching takes place, if it's a church where the focus is on Jesus Christ and his righteousness, then the mindset is that there's something wrong. We need to go where the activity is, need to go where the action is, need to go where the entertainment is found. And that's the problem today. And listen, Kenneth, I believe what we're talking about today is the underlayment. It is the foundational reason for what we find as the ultimate problems in society. It is the ultimate cause and effect of what we're seeing with the decline morally, ethically, spiritually in our nation today. It's what we're seeing, the end result, the decline in the political realm, the decline in the realm of ethics and values is based on a lack of biblical, theological, doctrinal teaching and preaching in so many of our churches. It goes back to...
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, when Benjamin Netanyahu came over and asked him not to give Iran to my trying to make a nuclear place for the people, to my trying to do that, but they're using it for weapons. And can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You think that one of those rockets is going to hit, or what is it, the Dome of the Rock?
Mm-hmm.
So the third temple can be built.
Brother, you're spot on. You're right on. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. And let me say this. I believe it's not a matter of future tense. I believe that Iran already has nuclear fissile material that is bomb material. I believe they already have already developed it. They're waiting until they get enough of those bombs made to be able to strike. And the first strike will be the nation of Israel. Second strike will be America. And yet we have the sleepy Joe Biden, the cognitively depleted Joe Biden, that's the puppet of Barack Hussein Obama and the globalist in the world that's wanting to see Israel wiped out. And they're allowing that to take place.
You took my third question out, because when Benjamin Netanyahu came over, and I'm almost 70 years old. When he came over to tell him don't do it, he sent him through the back door. I remember I had to go through the back door to get lunch from what was it? Pennies.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Okay, you send this man through the back door. You spent less than 30 minutes with him, but you spent 3 or 4 hours with the, what they call it? The Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood.
With the Islamic Jihadist PLO, as it was called in those days. Absolutely. Well, Kenneth, all we can do is keep looking up. We need to get back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and depending on the truth of the gospel and not on emotionalism and the rock and roll jargon that you find in so many churches today. It has no eternal value, but it is destroying the foundation of our nation today. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, for your insight, spot on with your observations. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, yep. We're talking about the deconstruction of the church and deconstruction is taking place through the emergent church, the progressive Christianity, or as Michael Horton called it, Christless Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul dealt with that in the book of Galatians. He called it another gospel, and it is. It's not the real gospel. It's another gospel. We believe, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe that we find the scripture talking about the apostasy, the falling away. That's taking place. We find that in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. Let me read that to you. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart. That means to fall away, to leave. Depart from the faith. It's talking about the Christian faith. Giving heed, that means giving attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a position today where there's a major, major, major dependence upon and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. That is, the word doctrines means teachings of demons. The King James says devils. There's not but one devil. It's the Greek word demion, literally mean demons. So let me just interpret this verse for us. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh clearly, expressly, that is, in terms it's clearly understood, unmistakably, that in the latter times, and we're living in the latter times, that some, not all, some shall depart. That is to fall away, to go away, to apostatize from the faith, the Christian faith, giving heed, giving attention, giving devotion to the doctrine of demons, to seducing spirits, that is evil supernatural spirits and doctrines, teachings of demons. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very important that we recognize what is taking place today. And what we need to understand is the need to get back to the basics of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And one of the causes, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're asking the question, what causes this to be so? Well, why are so many today like blind cattle herding into a fence or across the cliff? Why is that so? The scripture says in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, verse 1 and following, the Apostle Paul speaking to young Timothy, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, that is, at his coming, and his kingdom, that's the second coming of Christ, preach, caruso, herald the gospel, herald the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God properly preached, communicated from the pulpits through the leadership in the local New Testament churches, is to caruso, to herald the gospel, herald the word, and to be instant in season and out of season. Listen to this, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. That is to preach the word, to correct the mindset and the hearts and the lives of the hearer. Why is that needed? Why did Paul say it was needed then? Why is it needed today? Why should we be so cognizant of what the scripture says with that? The third verse in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, gives us the reason. It starts out with the little word for. That's the Greek word gar, G-A-R. Can be translated cause or because or for. Verse 3, for, because the time will come when they will not endure, that means to put up with, tolerate, sound, that means healthy, solid, true doctrines, that's teachings, but after their own lust, their own desires, their own cravings, they shall heap, that means to accumulate to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear, definitively expressing the era in which we're living in today. The challenge is to preach the word, herald the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, expository preaching, because in the era in which we're living today, people are heaping to themselves teachers slash preachers, leaders in churches, because they have itching ears. Not the leaders and the preachers, but the people have itching ears, wanted to hear some new thing, some new doctrine. some new philosophy, some new teaching that no one else has ever heard before, no one else has ever understood before, but they found some new nugget. So I want us to examine today the elements of the deconstruction of the biblical church. There are several terms that's used, as I said earlier, some of the modern terms, the popular terms. It is the popular church, the progressive church. It is identified as the emergent church, Christless Christianity, as Michael Horton identified it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand and realize how to identify that. I'm looking at an article about Christless Christianity. It's a kind of an editorial review. It says, is it possible that we have left Christ out of Christianity? Michael Horton argues that while we invoke the name of Christ, too often Christ and the Christ-centered gospel are pushed aside. The result is a message and a faith that are, in Horton's words, trivial, sentimental, affirming, and irrelevant. The alternative gospel is a message of moralism, personal comfort, self-help, self-improvement, individualistic religion. It trivializes God, making God to meet our selfish ends. Horton skillfully diagnoses the problem and points to the problem and the solution to the problem. And he says there's a need to return to the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I couldn't have said it better myself. Wanted you to hear that in relationship to where we are and what is taking place today. I believe it's important that we understand what is happening. In fact, Franklin Graham, and you've heard me say this, I believe, before, maybe not, he said it several times in the past, well, since about since 2020 and following. He has talked about it several times in the monthly magazine, Decision Magazine, that's put out by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I want to read you an elongated review of what Franklin Graham says. He says, progressive Christianity can send a person to hell. Franklin Graham recently wrote a column about rejecting progressive Christianity because it is not the gospel at all. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the gospel at all and does not follow core biblical doctrines at all. The real ultimate danger is that progressive Christianity can send a person to hell. I know that sounds harsh, Franklin Graham said, but it's true. Graham warned in a column as he wrote in Decision Magazine, the evangelist argued that progressive Christianity is wrong on different issues, including sexuality and marriage, as well as the deity of Jesus Christ. The eternal peril of progressive Christianity, he argued, that the ideology denies the divinely inspired authoritative truth of the Bible as it intersects with every facet of living. The evangelist, that is Franklin Graham, cited the example of marriage between one man and one woman as mandated by Scripture. Franklin Graham argued that those who believe in progressive Christianity twist and distort God's word on sexuality and instead focuses on nonsensical trends of gender identity. Further, he states, progressive Christianity concerns itself with issues of social and racial justice, but neglects the fundamental issues of God's justice, which is how he deals with sinful and wicked men. Franklin Graham continued to blast progressive Christianity as an ideology that does not focus on Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but instead causes spiritual confusion and chaos. He added that it also does not recognize the consequences of man's depravity and his sinful state in life today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we're coming back and we'll continue to talk about church deconstruction, progressive Christianity. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. With 55 people killed, hundreds more unaccounted for, the Hawaiian wildfires could end up as the deadliest natural disaster in the state's history. Hawaii's Governor Josh Green describes the death and destruction on Maui as heartbreaking and catastrophic, with more than 1,000 structures damaged or destroyed. President Biden has signed a disaster declaration that will free up additional federal funds to help in recovery efforts. The U.S. and Iran working on a prisoner swap that would also free up billions in frozen Iranian assets. As negotiations continue, Iran has moved 5 detained Americans from prison to house arrest. A federal judge in D.C. holding a hearing today on special counsel Jack Smith's request for a protective order aimed at muzzling former President Trump. More details, SRNnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. I believe it's one of the most seminal broadcasts that perhaps we have done, because the seriousness of the terms and the conversation we're having about the condition of the church today. It was George Barner, the Barner Report, and I restated this earlier in the brief monologue. George Barner said that in 18 months, this was about 9-10 months ago, that about 60,000 churches in America would close. You can drive across our great nation and you'll find churches, historically solid churches, generally speaking, that are closing. And you find more and more of the huge arena style churches opening. And it seems as though we have a total delusion taking place today. The mindset with many that claim to be saved, say that they have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, they're seeking to follow the crowd. It is, I believe, mass psychosis, where the mindset is where the crowds are means that must be the right place to go. Notwithstanding the fact, generally speaking, the gospel of Jesus Christ is watered down, if at all proclaimed. In fact, one writer states it this way: 5 warning signs of progressive Christianity. It's actually a Christian movement, explained the writer of this article, a former member of the Christian band called Zo Girl. It is Christ. It is Christ's followers who are re-examining, listen, re-examining, redefining, and often rejecting the core claims of historic Christianity and the Christian gospel. Yet they still identify as Christians, this writer says. At its core, progressive Christianity is a different religion completely. It gives you a different God, a different Jesus. It's not Jesus who can really save you, end quote. Goes further in the article, one of the red flags, it says, if you know Scripture and you know why you believe it's the real thing, then you will spot the counterfeit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God to help guide us through these things. Progressive Christianity isn't just affecting churches. It is infiltrating our homes, our families, and our schools, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, you can turn on television. You can listen to many broadcasts today, and you soon discover that progressive Christianity has literally infiltrated and taken control of what is called Christianity today, perhaps as never before. I'm looking at an article. I'm not a Facebooker. My wife pulled this off Facebook. It is from the Elevate Church in our area, and it says, music impacts us emotionally. It can bring back memories and excite our mood and feelings. What if our favorite songs actually have more to offer than a catchy tune? Join us for the ETV Jams, that's J-A-M-S, as we perform a live rendition and unpack the truth we can discover in mainstream music. Bring a friend this weekend for our back-to-school bash and enjoy free food, bounce houses for your kids, favorite characters, cotton candy for everyone. Every first-time guest will get a free Amazon gift card, end quote. One person boldly followed up on Facebook with a response, quote, how about preaching repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ and a life in obedience to the Lord Jesus in face of the current evil sexual revolution and the evil immorality and lawlessness that is eating our society. We don't need to have fun in church. We need to be fed with the Word of God. We need confession, repentance, sane doctrine, doctrine-filled hymns and psalms and singing, encouraging one another in prayer and in fellowship. That's true worship. We need to be readied to spread the gospel of Christ to the lost, and storm the gates of hell with the power of the sword of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you can make it any clearer than that respondent did on that Facebook posting. We're talking about today the church deconstructing. We're talking about tearing the church down, not building it up. And ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing, if I can put a little young blood parenthetical footnote to that, many so-called believers are part and parcel of that problem and the issue, where there's a mindset that I'm going to go where the crowds are. I'm going to go where the fun is. I'm going to go where the experience is taking place. There are churches today that's in progressive Christianity that will put on a show. And, of course, they claim that these showman people are Christians, so therefore it is preaching the gospel. Just a few years back, a church in our city had two wrestlers. They were Christian men, and they wrestled for Jesus on the platform. There was no pulpit message, but these two men wrestled, and it was a Christian wrestling team, and so therefore that was all right because they were Christians, and they were doing it for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's nothing more, nothing less than pure, unadulterated entertainment. And that's the problem that we're finding today that many are looking for. So what is it about the progressive Christianity, the Christless Christianity, the emergent church today, or some would call it the woke culture that's infiltrated the church? I asked the question, what is the church like that you're in? Has entertainment become the core function? How about the music? Is it rock and roll music? Rock and roll, you know, I call it 7-Eleven. Sometimes it can be 49-49. You got 49 words repeated 49 times. ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Tune in to some of what is called the modern worship. Write down the lyrics and see if you can understand them. If you can, they are not exalting Jesus Christ. They're building up and exalting self. And that's what we find. It's the rock and roll music, sometimes for 45 minutes or an hour. And then there's an anemic, cotton candy, non-biblical message to soothe the minds of the participants in that service. You see, preaching the gospel according to the Bible brings conviction and commitment and not comfort and ease. That's the way God ordained it to be so. Secondly, not only do we find it's built around entertainment as the core function, in short, progressive Christianity's music is demonic. The methods are devious and the message is defective. I don't know how I could identify it any more than that. Let me repeat that again. The progressive Christianity today, the music is demonic, the methods are devious, and the message is defective. It's not biblical Christianity, not biblical Christianity at all. In fact, let me just read to you a blurb from my lecture outline on that subject. The term emerging church and progressive Christianity is used to describe this broad, very controversial movement that seeks to use culturally sensitive approaches, including cultic mysticism, to reach the postmodern, mostly unchurched population with the so-called Christian message. It is in common in the emerging progressive Christian church today to use candles, statues, icons, images, incense burning, videos, experimental testimony, storytelling, fog machines, poems, and the general things of that nature. The progressive church today simply presents another gospel that is complete contradiction to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The emergent church movement will focus on religion and religious experiences that talk about storytelling, telling the stories of Jesus, other ambiguous, feeling-oriented, designed to experience God or to seek to find Him in their own way. Generally, the progressive church will downplay the need for biblical doctrine, reinterpret the creeds, and to de-emphasize traditional Christian beliefs and practices. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that's frightening even as I read it, because it is real and it is taking place today on a rampant scale across America. It is deconstructing the church of yesterday, bringing to forefront a church today that is a Christless Christianity, progressive Christianity, the emergent church, where cotton candy theology, goosebump theology, voodoo theology is being taught and not the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Elmbach. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you've stated today on your radio show, but the maligning of the word of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ there is not new. I mean, Charles Taze Russell and Joseph Smith are two examples I could think of right here in America.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The modern day, what seems to be happening more frequently today is the type of prosperity gospels there, especially like Olstein's view and a few others out here that are distorting the word of God to fit with society and secular views along with what's popular, you know, whichever way the wind's blowing. There's a lot more of that I've seen. And today, if you, instead of looking back historically, I mean, there's you could look at even the darker side of it, people like Jim Jones and David Koresh, who use the word of God to explicitly extort individuals for their own benefit. So what you're saying is truth, and that individuals need to pick up their Bible, read their Bible.
Yes,
it's
yes, yes.
Sense in there. They got to
yes.
Read. Got to read it.
Yes, and Jim, one of the things you touched on, Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is a, how would you call it, a modern
prosperity.
prosperity gospel entertainer. But there's one that is probably as dangerous, if not more so. The late Dr. Charles Stanley has a son named Andy Stanley. North Point Church in the Atlanta metro area is the church he pastors. Andy Stanley says, and I quote, "We've got to jettison the Old Testament." Andy Stanley says, "When it comes to creation, either we believe science or the biblical account." And his words, "Of course, we must believe science." Andy Stanley says that the Lord's Prayer is out of date and should be modernized. Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant to the Christian church today. Now, that is the epitome of the teachings and the theological persuasion of the progressive church in America. And yet, yes, Andy Stanley has the huge, huge following, huge crowd, but as Franklin Graham says, leading people to hell. And I don't know how anyone else feels about that, but Jim, I'm very, very concerned about seeing that taking place. And it is as a lamb being led to slaughter is dumb enough not to see, understand, and hear. And you touched on it, the very key elemental foundational reason that that's being embraced in America today is the anemia of Christians, the immaturity of Christians, and may I say very boldly but very carefully, the ignorance of Christians of the Word of God. It's time that we get back to the Word. It's time that we focus on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So, Jim, can I put you on the spot for a moment? Let me ask you this question. What do you see as a challenge that you would make to a person or persons if you were challenging them in relationship to where we are today in our church and what is happening?
Well, the challenge would be to overcome the desire to go along with what contradicts the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that it's difficult to be in society or a secular society and not be influenced by it. For example, you were talking about Andy Stanley with the science thing there. You know, if somebody presented that to me, I would say, oh, so basically you're already endorsing God's view because science says that the Big Bang occurred and something from nothing there. That sounds like ex nihilo to me. Sounds very God to me. God made it. So, you know, and don't be afraid to stand for the gospel. You know, it's difficult, but try to do it in a wise way. You know, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is being able to respond to people in a way that delivers truth, and you're trying to do it in a loving way. And I struggle with that all the time because knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is completely different.
Absolutely. And, Jim, you touched on it, and I'll say this and let you go. We need to confront evil, whether it is being wrapped in the shell of spirituality or not. We need to confront it in love and point out what needs to be done in the transition that must take place. In fact, what we see taking place today, Jim, one of the things that I am so petrified by is seeing this taking place, and it's permeating, it's rotting society. And if it continues, and it is, if Jesus tarries and it continues, in the next 3 to 5 years, we will not have in America what would be called the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed, because many of those churches are closing because of lack of attendance, the falling away, the apostasy from those that claim to be saved, but they're seeking entertainment and following the crowd. That is the problem. In fact, Jim, one of the things that I'm looking at an article about Bethel Church. Bethel Church is a major mega church known nationally. I'm looking at an article and it's talking about baptism, mass baptism. And the end thing today is having mass baptism. Greg Lowry recently had 4,500 baptized. Another church just said they had 2,500 baptized. And here's one at Bethel Church. A young woman asked why she was being baptized. and what her name was. She said, and I quote, "I am Crystal. I know God is calling me to be the warrior for his animal kingdom. I am to lead an army of angels to protect animals around the world. And I can't do it without God, so I need to be baptized," end quote. Mm. In the progressive church today, they're just simply baptizing people. Who wants to be baptized? Come on. And baptism is to be for one that has said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and follows the Lord in believer's baptism, which represents the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Represents the death of the old life, the burial in Christ, to be resurrected to walk in newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. But we're seeing with the modern progressive church today a total dilution of anything that's called spirituality. And Jim, I'll read you one more illustration. One young woman was asked about the LGBTQ agenda. Her name is Lauren Daigle, D-A-I-G-L-E, a popular singer. She says, "What do you think about the LGBTQ? Quote, "I can't honestly answer that question. I have too many friends that are in that way. I can't say. You see, I'm not God." The modern church today, the progressive church, progressive Christianity, embraces the LGBTQ. They will not take a stand and say that they're not going to be judgmental. So, Jim, as you've said, the key to it is getting back to the Word, studying the Word, knowing the Word. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. God bless you, and keep looking up. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I mean, it's sad to see the condition of the so many call leaders in the church. Mm-hmm. I see it as people that they see being a leader in the church as an occupation. They don't see it as a call from God directly. And that's a problem we have. They see that as, I go to a university, I get a title, and I get a job. The question is, do they really have a call from God to be in leadership? Because that has a lot to do with it, and there's a lot of requirements. And that's why you see so many, I call it lukewarm Christians. They want to please the world, and they want to be in the church. It doesn't work like that. Either we are on God's side, or we are with the world. And if we are living that way, the Lord is going to spit us out of his mouth. That's what the Bible says in Revelation. So all these new age, 21st century lukewarm Christians, in my understanding, they need to repent, and they need to come back to the knowledge of what the Bible says. Because now they don't want to be called homophobic. And to me, I'm proud homophobic, because my Heavenly Father, he believes in the marriage between only man and woman. If by that standard, a person is a homophobic, I'm a proud one. But people don't have the guts because they don't know the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. Oh, they're going to say, oh, they're going to call me names. So be it. They did Jesus worse. But these people don't have the spiritual guts to stand for what the Bible says, because they got lukewarm leaders that they want to please the world. They want BLM. They want all those anarchists in the church. They want the LGBT mafia inside the church. So they are peeing in the panties to speak the truth. That's a problem, brother. We don't have people. They need to be born. They are lukewarm Christians. And it's sad to say, you got the singer that you mentioned, you got the big group, the Hillsong, you got so many so-called Christians with the world doing crazy things and then coming to the pulpit. I was raised in a time that pulpit is holy. When that leader get up there, is holy. And you need to be respectful of the pulpit. Now anybody can go there. A city council, you can have anybody that they don't have fear of the Lord. Maybe, brother, we were raised in a different age, but the Lord called us to be holy because he's holy, not perfect. Be holy. Amen. And be separate from the world. But this Amen. Generation, they had no clue. And when you say those things from the pulpit, you are a right winger, you have no love, and you are a homophobic and a bigoted. Wait a minute, because I believe on what the Bible says. We need people teaching the Bible and doing what you're doing, speaking truth. And those people that are lukewarm, they're going to resent it. Even Christians, they're going to attack you. But you know what? All we got to do is pray for them and be the light, including Christians, which is unspeak of. They should be the light as well, but they're not the light. They are lukewarm Christians. And I think that's the problem we have nowadays, brother. You got so many denominations accepting and caving to the LGBT mafia. But what the Bible says? I mean, the Bible is clear. That's why sometimes I question and I wonder if that's what the Bible verse says. When I come to the earth, Jesus said, will I find faith? That's an awesome Bible verse. And we can apply that to today's day, bro. I don't know what you take on that, but that's my take on that. Have a blessed day, brother. Thank you.
Brother, you're spot on. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your input. I'm going to read another quote from another. As I said earlier, when I quoted from Franklin Graham, for the past 3 years, he's had in Decision Magazine an article about progressive Christianity. This one, he says, the eternal peril of progressive Christianity. For decades, a war has been raging against biblical Christianity that goes under the seemingly innocent name of progressive Christianity. It is chopped up in the hall. It is has cropped up in the halls of seminaries, infiltrated the pulpits of thousands of our churches. It's been propagated by a godless liberal media. It is bent on casting doubt and undermining the foundational principles of the Word of God. Progressive Christianity, here's the key. Progressive Christianity denies the divinely inspired, authoritative truth of the Bible as it intersects with every facet of living. Let me pause there. That is the key element, ladies and gentlemen, to what is called progressive Christianity, Christless Christianity, the emergent church today. It denies the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word says it. That settles it, whether I want to embrace it or not. And yet with the progressive Christianity today, the Christless Christianity, the emergent church, they are diluting and destroying, undermining the Word of God. He continues to say, today the advocates of progressive Christianity, they deceitfully promote and proclaim what I believe is clearly a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Let me say it again. Progressive Christianity is not a gospel at all. It has nothing to do with the gospel of Christ, has nothing to do with this Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The result is nothing but spiritual confusion and chaos. Here's the problem. Franklin Graham says, progressive Christianity denies the divinely inspired authoritative truth of God's Word. It intersects with the every life and living. For example, although Scripture clearly says that marriage is to be between one man and one woman, the proponents of progressive Christianity twist and distort the truth of God's Word on sexuality, focusing on such nonsensical trends as gender identity. They deny God's distinction of the sexes. Instead, they invent their own misguided standards, unguided by the Word. They degrade the Word of God and go to cultural influences and embrace such movements as gay marriage that have more sway and belief on their lives than the Bible. When it comes to the matter of personal sin, progressive Christianity most frequently fails to see the ruinous consequences of mankind's depravity and his sinful state. Biblical teachings on the precious blood of Christ, the sacrificial, substitutionary, atoning work of Christ's death on the cross, are totally distorted, disregarded, and neglected in the progressive Christianity today. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is there's a need for us to turn back to the Word of God. There's a need. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap up by saying this. If you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, one of the evidences of true biblical salvation is a hunger to know the Word of God, a hunger to study the Word, a hunger to be in a church where the Word of God is proclaimed without to fear and without favor. It's a hunger to apply the Word of God in our lives. So let me challenge you, get back to the Word, turn back to the Word of God. And if you don't have that hunger, let me suggest two things. Number one, say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And secondly, find a church where the Word of God is proclaimed and where the music honors God and exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is not the case in your life and you say you're saved, I would suggest that you pray, seek God's face, and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.4.